You might be able to remember we discussed this mindfulness of body when we did the meditation about the mindfulness of breathing, and then we did the meditation about the 32 parts of the body, and then the last time we did meditation about this element of extensions, element of motion, element of cohesion, and element of heat. So there we discussed this mindfulness of body, Kayagata Sati Sutta. So I will take the part the relevant to the today meditation, and again, monks, it is as if a monk might see thrown aside in a cemetery a body that had been dead for one day, or for 2 days, or 3 days, swollen, discolored, decomposing. So he focuses on this body itself, thinking this body too is of similar nature, a similar constitution. It has not got past that state of things. So this one will become like that. While he is thus diligent, ardent, self-resolute, those memories and aspirations that are worldly are got rid of. By getting rid of them, the mind itself is inwardly settled, calm, focused, concentrated. Thus one does the monk develop mindfulness of body. So there's this word about the while he is thus diligent, ardent, self-resolved. That means he is mindful about this body, and he is ardent, that means he has got some effort put on to this meditation, for get rid of this the lustful desires and all those things. Buddha said, those memories and aspirations that are worldly are got rid of. What are these memories and aspirations that are worldly? That's one actually describing that diagram in that sense. First you would see how we arrive at this one. We go to our eye, and there's this form. Depending on the eye and the form, the eye consciousness comes to arise. Meeting of the three is contact. So the contact is marked in that diagram. You can see in the middle there is this contact as nutriment. In the you see that one, contact as nutriment on the top. Yeah. Imagine this one as a vehicle, and that one is the steering wheel. Contact as nutriment is the steering wheel. Okay, so if you describe this vehicle, you can see there is this physical nutriment in the front. Those are the two wheels in the front. One is the physical nutriment, the edible food that we eat. And on the, in that particular column below, you can see this birth. So those are the two wheels. Because of the physical nutriments, you are being born here in this world, because you cling to this one and come to this world, right? And imagine these two are the wheels, front wheels of the vehicle. And there are, at the right hand side of that one, there are four words written: lying, harsh speech, slander, and frivolous talk. See on the rightmost corner, those are the four wheels. The back of the vehicle has got four wheels. In the middle, you can see that the, starting with the coveting and greed, you can see those circular objects, feeling, the body tie of misapprehension, volitional formations, the body tie of insistence that this is the truth, that one constitute the propeller shaft of the vehicle. If you know about the vehicle, you know there is something inside the vehicle, right, that making the wheel turning and supplying the power. This vehicle is front engine and the rear drive. Engine is in the front and the rear drive, because this power is coming from, you know. And now what is this vehicle? You got that six wheels now defined. And in front you can see coveting and greed. That one is the universal joint of the vehicle. You know, the universal joint that supply the power to the two wheels. Yeah. And the contact as nutriment is the steering wheel. And there is this feeling in the middle, that is the control system, gearbox. Sometimes you feel going fast, isn't it? Some feelings are coming up, you can't control. So gears are changing very quickly, right? So that's the feeling. And the body tie of misapprehension, the big box in the middle, that one is you and your friends or your family at that particular time. Maybe we are your office people, not all of them, couple of them, where you are actually having ill thoughts, where you have loving thoughts, right? They are there at that particular time when you think about them. So you may be in that vehicle. You are the person controlling this thing. Now what is marking red lines? And you can see there is perception written on the top. That's the brake. When you change the perception, you change all those things. So if I'm going to give you an example, hair in your head, right? You think it's beautiful and so on. You touch it and, you know, comb it and so on. The same here. Now you think this is good. And on a piece of plate where you are eating, what do you say? Disgusting. And you put it out, right? So you can see the break. As soon as you change your perception, you have no longer, you do not have any thought about that one to continue on. So that's the break. And you can see on the, there is a line going across, that the birth, and there is aging, and you can see sadness, and you can see sickness, death, and the delusion. You see those things in the bottom? Yeah? Okay. This diagram is actually named aging. Not by me, it was named aging. The diagram's name is aging. This vehicle, where would we drive into? We are driving to aging. You know the term that Vaisatayanva in Sinhala is aging. That's where we are actually driving. And then you can see that there is this sickness, and then you actually see that there is this red line, the third red line, is marked with the death at the end. So you can see your axle or whatever thing is broken down, you know, body taken apart. Okay, why we discuss this one? Now we were saying here, the when you are doing this meditation, while he is thus diligent, ardent, self-resolute, those memories and aspirations that are worldly are got rid of. You're contemplating about the body, the skeleton, or the, you know, sort of thing, dead body. Now, if you are not doing that one, imagine you are not doing that one, that means you are in this car. You are driving. Let's say, a two person, a boy and a girl in this car. The boy is driving, a girl is sitting. And girl would say to that boy, well, there is a nice hotel, lovely hotel on the top of that mountain, lovely food, right? Now when that girl says that one, this person has his memories and aspirations that are coming up, that are worldly, he thinks, okay, let's go to that one. He turns his wheel, so the contact is now made from the sound. And then he is asking about this food and so on, nice place. So he's not thinking about these things. And he thinks what he was going to do. What is he going to eat? If it is a hotel, it has got rooms. You don't need me to describe. He would think about these things very quickly. Right? Both of them may be thinking. So one will be going on that direction. But by that time, your car might break down. You may not reach that place. Or you might reach that place, still you don't get accommodation, or food or whatever thing it is. It's possible, right? If none of those things actually happen, this person was only thinking, what are those things? It's just memories and aspirations, on the one other hand. On the other hand, it is just a lie. Because he thought that I would go into this place and eat and behave such and such a way. Isn't it a lie? People don't normally think this one as a lie. People think lie means that your words should come out from your mouth, right? But in Pali, it's vitakka vichara, initial application, sustained application. So he's initially applying, I'm going there, eating there, all those other things. And keep on applying them. And since it is not true, it did not even take place, and it's become a lie. So this diagram explains how you lie. You can see, by this greed in the front, the universal joint where you have the greed, you transfer power to the back wheel, first wheel of the line, by doing this one. By his thinking, he sent the power. Now the wheel is turning, this lie is continuing, vehicle is driving to the forward. Where is the destination? He's trying to get into there, right? Now, what will happen when you have ill will? Also, irsha. Irsha is that envy. That also lead to lying. How do you lie? Because of the irsha, envy. You see, in your office, maybe that you are there and then you have a friend. Or maybe it's another person, a colleague working with you. And you are working fine and so on. And then all of a sudden the other person got a promotion. And when that person got a promotion, and you are thinking that person is not good. That person does not deserve it. Because you are jealous now. You think, I got the same qualification, I got the same ability, I'm better. But that person got it. So there is this envy. What would you do next? So maybe other people will come and tell you as well. Or you go and tell them, oh, this person is not qualified. I'm the one who's qualified. Or you may not be telling that you are the qualified person, but saying the other person is not qualified. That means you are lying again. For the organization, that person was qualified. Not you. Because maybe the same qualification. Don't go into the other detail that they were favoritism and all those things. It is that we are making it up in our mind. So you can see that because of my jealousy, I'm telling the others, you know, he's not qualified and whatever things. I'm making up things. I'm finding faults. Right? So jealousy leads to the lying as well. Also, the ill will. When you have ill will, so you can see this, by doing you're doing this one, you're thinking that the wheel is spinning. That wheel spinning is so troublesome for you. That's how we live though. Because we have been doing this one for all the time. Until Buddha told us not to. And if you have ill will, again, that leads to harsh speech. Ill will leads to harsh speech. You know, the furthermost wheel will now spin. Because I am angry. I'm not happy, so I'm telling certain things. Even that the example about that the other person got sort of a job promotion, right? I'm telling harsh speech about this thing. And the derogation is actually you are taking away something from that person. Now you want to actually tell others, whenever we say that this person is not qualified and so on, you are taking away some of the qualities he has got. So the derogation is that. That one leads to harsh speech. And on the bottom you can see there is hate. Ill will was there and there is this hate. And hate leads to slander. Slander is, normally that you hear something and you are going there and tell others to separate them, right? That's the slander. So this one is really bad. This one is sort of a very strong thing. It can even let you separate your part of the body from the rest. How? Let's say you got a wound, maybe a cancer or something, right? If you go to the hospital, they are shouting and you know that because of the pain and things like that, or let me cut this off, and you will say, probably might have heard, when they have a pain over here and that particular part, I don't want. Again happening from this one. You are not only now separating. When you are talking about separating two friends, you got a friend, then friend got another friend. Probably he later joined. And you don't like that person. There's some sort of characteristic in that person that you do not like. Maybe his mouth is going some other way. Maybe the hair is not the way you expected. Or maybe, the thing he's talking is not appealing to me. So I don't like that person. Now what would I do? I want to separate him from my friend. So I'll go and tell my friend that person is so and so. So I want to separate. So that is applying the externally. Now here, what he is trying to do, he pick up something, unskilled state of that person. The bullying and harassment happening in the schools, the same thing. They pick up something in that person, that boy or girl had got something, some sort of a characteristic that other people will find that this is not good. So they use that one. Similarly, we do the same thing. We find some sort of fault in that thing. We are trying to separate. So one part, if you apply into your body, so the part that is, there's a wound or something, is the unskilled part, akusala in Pali. And you think the rest is kusala. I want to separate the skill state from the unskilled state. So you apply to yourself. So you can see it is so bad in that sense. It is happening because of this palaso, the disparaging. It's written in that red line, the third red line, disparaging. So it leads to the slander. And also we do these three things. So we talk about the line. Now that wheel is spinning. And then the other wheel is harsh speech. That one is spinning. And then the slander is spinning as well. So very bad state. You are in a very bad state in that three spinning. Going very fast. When you are angry, you are doing so many things. Now these three things occur in sequence as well. The first it starts with the line and then the harsh speech, and the harsh speech leads to slander. And these three things are actually called delusion. These three things itself is the delusion that we have, moha. And that one leads to the frivolous speech, the fourth wheel. Fourth wheel is also running that way. Now, do you have any of these things when you are doing the meditation? when you are thinking about the 32 parts of the body, the skeleton, right? My body is of the same nature. Would you be spinning any of these wheels? You wouldn't. You wouldn't. You are not lying. You are actually looking at the true nature of the body. This is the skeleton. This is the human body that this person died. And I will become like that. So you stop spinning these wheels. And then the girl and boy scenario. And they are going to hotel and talking about that one. Now this person is thinking, right? Now this person, when he meditate, it won't be there. This is the vehicle. This vehicle moves you to aging, sickness, death. That's what it is. So, if you stop these wheels by changing your perception that I am not going to do this because these are happening because of my greed, ill will, envy, derogation, and the hate, stinginess, and disparaging. So, seven things. Those things are leading to this wheel spinning. This is very bad state when we have this one. We always have this one. Believe or not. Unless you do the meditation, unless you go into the second jhana concentration, as soon as you stop spinning these four wheels, back wheels, you are in the second jhana concentration and above, not below. The otherwise, you are spinning these things. So that's why Buddha said when the monks get together, they either got to be in the second jhana concentration, it's called R in silence, or they discuss Dhamma. Otherwise, anything else is belonging to this class of actions. You talk about work, again the same thing. You know, in the office work or whatever thing it is. What are they are for? They are for greediness. Some sort of a greediness for you to earn money and fill your stomach. For that one, we talk about that one. We talk different language and different things, but it's all aligned. If you get food to eat, a shelter to live on, would you go to work? If you get, you know, things for you to eat, and live, is taken care of your clothes and things, you would.
But if you help another, you know, exchanging some energy,
maybe. That is, you are talking about compassion.
Sorry?
You are talking about compassion here.
Yeah, because maybe you're once, you know, not wanting for money.
No, there are situations like that, huh?
Sorry?
There are things like that. Yeah. For example, if you are having a compassion, the community work, for example.
Yeah.
I'm not coming here for money, I'm coming here for community, you know, the help in the things. That sort of thing. That is good. Otherwise, if they stop paying you, would you be going there? Would you go to work?
So, sometimes, maybe not so often, that's true, because it's difficult. I'm working with people with disabilities and they're really difficult, but sometimes it's great to help them.
Yeah, you're talking about the compassion. Because of the compassion, you are going and doing that. Right? But normally, if you are talking about the job, you know, if you are going for a job, that you are going for the job and doing that.
To live.
Yeah, that's what we do. Although we don't admit straight away, it is. So, if you're talking about them, then that means belonging to the same class.
Yeah, it's always on the border, you know. It's, for instance, I'm thinking it's compassion, but I still get money, not much. But still, you know, it's somewhere, you know.
You're balancing. You're balancing the two. That's what you're trying to say. There's some sort of thing.
So, the question is, where are we?
Yeah.
You'll get enough. You'll get sufficient to...
Just to have something,
What you're trying to say is there's some sort of satisfaction in my job that I help others or something like that.
And the
But,
as well.
But the they probably say, I'm not going to pay you a cent, and if you don't have any other means of living, you would stop doing that. That's what it is. You will go somewhere else. Right? So, what I'm trying to say here is, these are the memories and aspirations that we have. And so if you look at the Eightfold Path, you have the right view, when you have the right thought, you don't do any of these things. You are trying to stop these things. But you can't. If you can do that one, by breaking it, by changing the perception, well, by that time your concentration is completely stable. All the time you are getting a concentration which is, there's no anything in between in that concentration. You have the concentration and you have the next concentration. And next to it is the concentration. Nothing in between. The Buddha said this one in one gatha. The Yambutta Sitto Parivanna Isuchin. Yeah, in that gatha. That Buddha said that this concentration is continuous. It is not continuous when you are spinning these back wheels. As soon as you stop that one, you're so good, so happy, so mind is so concentrated. So that's why Buddha is teaching us this perception, how to break this one. The perception of impermanence, one break. Perception of suffering, another break. Perception of not self, another break. If you go through Girimananda Sutta, so you can see 10 breaks mentioned over there. 10 perceptions. The perception of cessation, perception of fading away. So even the mindfulness of breathing is again another break in that sense. Otherwise, we will continue on these back, you know, in a way they are all lying. Whether the word comes out or not, whenever we have the initial application, sustained application, is called vitakka vichara. Vitakka vichara is classed under the verbal formations.
Even if it doesn't come out, just the thought.
That's right. If you look at the right thought, the way Buddha described the right thought, Aryan right thought, and the verbal formations are included in the Aryan right thought. So you can see the other way around, the normal worldling's thought, the wrong thought, include that one as well. Yeah. So this is the reason why you cannot maintain your concentration. If you see that you have some sort of concentration, the rapture and all those things, and all of a sudden you are down from that concentration. Why am I down from this concentration? These four spins. And as soon as they start spinning, you cannot go into concentration. Then you need to stop these things going to the concentration. So this meditation over here, that Buddha said that, you know, when you are doing this meditation, then all those memories and aspirations that are worldly are got rid of. Because now you are thinking about the dead body. My body is of the same nature. The true things you are thinking about. And again, monk, it is as if a monk might see thrown aside in a cemetery a body that had been dead for, you know, eaten by vultures, so the second body, and then again the vultures, dogs or jackals, or by various small creatures. So he focuses on this body itself, thinking this body too is of the similar nature, similar constitution. It has not got past this state. So again Buddha said that those memories and aspirations, those things will not come up. And again monk, it is as if a monk might see a thrown aside in a cemetery a body which was a skeleton, but with some flesh and blood, sinew, bound, a skeleton, which was fleshless, but sinew bound, a skeleton which was without flesh or blood, sinew bound, Oh, the bones scattered here and there, no longer held together. Here a bone of the hand, there is a foot bone. Here a leg bone, there a rib, there a hip bone, there a back bone. Here the skull. So he focuses on this body itself, thinking this body too is of similar nature, a similar constituent. It has not got past this state of things. So he keeps on focusing until that the powder form, and seeing that one as well. So whatever the skeleton, if you have a chance to look at the skeleton, there's a one in this hyperdome. You know, the one constructed, I think, in from the downstairs in that pharmacy. Yeah, the pharmacy. Yeah, there's a on that staircase, nearby the staircase, there is a skeleton. So when I go there, I get a good grasp of that one and look at it, and and then it's useful for the meditation. I can actually see the skeleton anyway in my meditation. When I focus, I can see your skeleton and your skeleton as well. I can see inside as well in that sense. So it's the maybe I have done meditation about the skeleton quite a long time in the past. So, but for anyone who has get that picture thoroughly established in the mind and thinking about this skull and you know that thing, very easy to get at arrive at concentration. It may not be the skeleton that makes you get concentration. Maybe something else, but you need to pick up one of these things in your meditation regarding the body. Maybe 32 parts. Maybe the mindfulness of breathing. Maybe those four great elements: the element of extension, element of heat, element of motion, and so on. So, but you need to establish the mindfulness regards body somehow. Otherwise, your mind is limited to go beyond this one. This diagram really helps as well in that one. So, probably we'll stop for today.